Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine understood, I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Well, hello, people in our After Rot line. Apparently, we have some technical hitches every once in a while. It happens. It's what live radio does. So, I'm going to start again, and here we go. I am going to introduce Sonia Thompson, who is an actress, has been in a few different things, and I hope we can hear her as well. How's it going, Sonia?
Oh, it's going fantastic. How you doing?
Oh, I'm always amazing, especially when live radio does that live radio thing. And now I hear me perfectly, and I see the meters lighting up, and everything looks just perfect. Hopefully the people in the chat room hear us too.
I hope so. Will they let us know? I hope they will.
They will. They're very responsive, and they're responding that yes, they can hear us now. So I'm going to start back again, and I know you like the picture I chose for you.
Yes, I did. That was a behind the scenes of season one on The Walking Dead from, I think, the Valtos episode 4. And that was when Glenn was going downtown to get the bag of guns from the tank. He came out of the alley and stopped off at a car. And that was me in the back seat of the car that was resting. And he startled me. And I got out and hit him.
So... because I'm looking at the IMDb right now, I see you've been on a lot of stuff, but I'm going to focus on Walking Dead because up until season 8, I really liked it. Then season 8 bugged me. And after that, it's like, well, when it's all done, I'll watch the rest of it again and probably just breeze through some of it. So all of these different episodes you've been in, is it the same walker or different walkers each time?
Season 1, it was the same walker pretty much all season long. Except for the very first day of filming that they used zombies, and that was when little girl zombie got shot. And Greg Nicotero the makeup crew wanted to try the mask and all these other things before they had the big zombie shoot downtown at the tank. And so they brought the 20 hero zombies in that day to, try out everything and see how it went. It was like a trial run. And so I was kind of a little bit different that day, but I was wearing the same outfit that I did downtown. But once they used me downtown, they kept me downtown, and they deleted the scene that I had shot at the convenience store. Well, that's okay.
They deleted your scene? Damn it.
Yeah, it happens, you know. But I did 5 of the 6 episodes. Season 1. And the CDC scene, I was a different zombie that time. And then season 2, I was in 4 episodes, and I was about 4 different zombies in that. But I was the only military walker in season 2, episode 2, I believe, when that was at the FEMA camp, when Otis and Shane went to go get the meds, the antibiotic. Yeah.
It's been so long since I watched season 1. Season 1 was, I think, the most fun, because the whole interaction with that little kid was like, that's nasty, but hilarious.
Yeah, totally. Out of all of them, season 1 will always be hands down my favorite.
I don't even think they were going to know whether or not they were going to get past the season 1.
Well, no, we didn't. We had no idea. I had conversations sometimes with Frank and Greg, and we had no idea how it was going to go over. None whatsoever. Never in my dreams did I ever expect it to be so huge worldwide.
Yeah.
And then when they had used me for promotional, I was a promotional model for the show, and that's what landed me on magazine covers worldwide and DVDs and T-shirts and, in the comic book issue number 75 with the main cast. It's just, I never even thought it. I even had my agent ask her if she needed to negotiate when I did the promo shots, because I was like, hey, listen,
there's money.
They got us right here wanting us to do this, this promo thing, and they want to use our images like this. And she's like, well, if I negotiate for you, they can send you home. But you may just, because the 8 other people there, they only chose 8 of us to do, 8 or 9 of us, I think it was 9 total to do it. And it was, she says they could send you home and then they could, you know, not use your images because they're having to pay you more. Right. And I'm like, well, she says, just ride the wave and see what happens, but it's your decision. So I said, well, I'll just ride the wave and see what happens. Well, I'm still on that zombie wave. It's like been a tidal wave or a tsunami. I don't know, but I've been riding it as best as I can.
Cool. And do you get to parlay that into other roles?
You know, I've done some other zombie stuff, but mainly, it's just, you know, I don't get anything for my image being used like right. that. But no, I mean, it's opened up some doors for some other stuff. That's for sure.
Well, that's kind of what I was leading to. I mean, do you ever, do you do the conventions? Okay, cool. Yeah, because I know the one lady whose name is escaping me right off the top of the head, but she played the character Karen Cooper in Night of the Living Dead.
Uh-huh.
She basically makes the most of her living just off that character, which was in there for like maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I do. I've been on the convention scene since 2011.
Excellent.
And, the very first one, I think, was Wizard World, but I've had a few bookstores that's had me and stuff like that, you know. I haven't had as many invites the past couple of years, but COVID, you know, kind of put a damper. I've just been doing a few small ones here and there. I've not done a lot. Well,
that whole scene is beginning to opening up right now. I mean, I keep hearing about all sorts of different new conventions being starting to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely picking back up. I've been getting I had a promoter call me the other night that wanted me to appear at a Bigfoot convention in Clayton. Yeah, I've actually appeared at it before.
Cool.
And so he contacted me and he said, "Hey, you want to come back to the Bigfoot convention again up in Clayton, Georgia?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that was fun."
So
it's very exciting.
Have you been in a Bigfoot movie?
I have. I was.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, up in West Virginia. It's a 3-part movie. It's got 2 comedy shorts and then the horror short, which Jim Kurt is in. He was a helicopter zombie. And I think it was Night of the Living Dead or was
Dawn
it
of Dawn? The Dead. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious because I've met him and he was in our party room with a whole bunch of us at one of the conventions in Philadelphia. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's great. I filmed up in PA this earlier this year with him on a movie called Zero. And this is going to be really cool for you zombie fans out there, okay? Because
zombies.
It is a zombie movie. It's called Zero. And Jim and I are in it together, but we are not zombies.
Oh, no.
I know. But that's any zombie fan is going to know that. And they're going to be like, whoa, they're in a zombie film. They're not zombies. That's a cool twist.
Sorry, I just looked at the picture for that movie Bigfoot.
Yeah.
That looks silly.
Yeah.
Oh, Zero's in post-production. Oh, let's take a look at what that's got to say, too. look at the pictures. Oh, the Zero is in a Z. Sorry, America versus Canada. Z versus Z. Let's scroll through. Oh, there you are. Hey, you're actually in the picture right there.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, cool. And that's supposed to come out where? When?
I don't know.
Okay.
With it being in post-production, I really hate to give a time frame on
right.
it because sometimes that can take a little bit longer. But I'm hoping it'll be in this. I'm going to project the spring.
Okay, so early next year sometime.
Yeah, that's what I'm projecting, but I don't know for sure.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, half of all of movie productions during the beginning of COVID got pushed back at least 2-3 years sometimes in some cases, so one never knows.
Yeah. And, there's another movie I filmed up that way. It was actually in Maryland called KOA, Killed on Arrival.
I just saw that one.
Yeah, that's I played a kind of a granny meemaw role on that. So let's just
Hey,
say nobody
I know
was a pro.
Julianne Prescott.
Oh, do you know her?
Well, not friend friends, it's online friends or whatever, but I see her pop up all the time.
Okay.
I should try and get her on the show too. Yeah,
Oh,
more
that'd be
people, more
awesome.
people.
Yes, do that.
Yeah, she always comes across as a fun and amusing person too. So, I watched your other movie that you suggested that was available to watch on YouTube, 2.5 hour long. That movie was 2.5 hours.
Oh, I know. I know. It's I tried to get him to edit it down a little bit more. I was trying to, but he just didn't want to. He wanted to try to keep everybody in, and I understand that and I respect that. It's
Yeah,
a
and that's
good
cool.
movie. It's a good movie. It's just a little long. It's a
It's a
little
little
longer than what.
long.
Yeah, there's some things I think could have been edited out that did not help the story to move it forward. But
Yeah.
you gotta respect what the director wants to do.
Well, he's got a vision. He's got to play with it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So we'll have to tell the name of the movie here.
Yes.
All Hallows Evil, Lord of the Harvest. I really like the idea. They had some great sets, a lot of available sets to play with and work there, so they had to have some budget. A lot of people, all kinds of characters. Love the kids. They made me laugh all the time. Especially the evil clown-dressed kid. It's like, ah, Stabby. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, Luke Donaldson, I think he ended up on The Walking Dead at some point.
Oh, awesome. It's like everybody who's into zombies ends up in The Walking Dead. Wonder how that worked. Oh yeah, there's lots of zombies in that show.
Totally.
So
Totally,
yeah.
plenty of them.
I'll talk
Plenty of
about
zombies.
Walking Dead a lot.
Walking Dead's a good thing to talk about. It
Yeah,
really
let's
is.
jump into some of these other things. So you've been where you were in Zombieland?
Yes.
Excellent.
That was kind of cool. I went for the audition, and there was a lot of professional dancers that were auditioning. Now, I'm not a professional dancer, but I did break dance in the 80s. So I utilized that not only on Zombieland, but also in The Walking Dead when I was doing the promo shoot. I got in there and they loved it so much that I got the role for the lunchroom lady.
Cool.
And we filmed it. I filmed several days on that, but it was kind of cool because the trailer that I was in had a star on the outside of it. I was just like, man, this is so freaking awesome, But working with Reuben Fisher, he had mainly done music videos before he did that movie, and it was really brilliant working with him. I really enjoyed working with Reuben. He was a great director and really just very nice, easy to talk to. He called me in for to do the Zombieland training video. There was only four of us that he called in to do that, along with the owner of Netherworld Haunted House in Atlanta,
Cool.
Ben. Yeah, that's an awesome haunted house if you're ever down this way. But anyway, so Ben was our instructor, and it was just Ben and myself and three others, and Ruben, the director that was in the training video, and we went over different ways for different movements, different ways to do your face, and just different snarls and growls and how to be a zombie in the movie. So every zombie actor had to watch that in order to be a zombie actor in the movie. And so that was pretty cool that I got to be a part of that. And part of that made it to the DVD. My scene was actually deleted from, it was cut from the main theatrical release, but it is on the DVD. It's called Ziploc Bags. It's a darker scene where the guy, his match goes out and he's trying to relight his lantern, and I come in and I attack him, and me and
Well, he
another
deserved
zombie.
it.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
Yeah,
totally.
totally.
And
Oh, geez.
that was a lot of fun to shoot. It really was. And that day after I got off set for that, I stepped outside and I'm bloody all over. On the DVD, they compare me to mad cow disease and syphilis. Yeah, when they show my picture, they happen to mention those two, and I'm like, oh, great.
Isn't that something to be remembered for?
I know, right? I mean, I don't think anybody else can say they've ever been compared to those two things in one sentence. But anyway, I stepped outside, and I see Abigail, and she's got a new little puppy. And here I am, all zombie, bloodied up, and I go to this little puppy, and I'm like, hey, little puppy, you're so cute. Oh, my God, you're so cute. You know, and I'm like, hey, how are you doing? I'm talking, said hello to Abigail. And I know that she would never remember me after seeing me like that, but anyway, it was so cool. You know, I'm like talking to her dog and petting it. And then I'm like, as I was walking off, I was like, holy crap, that dog could have bit me looking like this, But, it just proves that dogs don't care what somebody looks like. They look at the insides, man, They do. So
they can tell all that stuff's fake.
Yeah, they're not stupid. They got it,
They just act stupid sometimes, that's all. Yeah.
This is so true, so true.
But, I can share you a funny story about that, only because it was filmed. Resident Evil?
Yes, I do.
So they did a number of the productions up here in Toronto, and the studio stage for one section of it, I think we're talking about Resident Evil 4, I can't remember which one it is, but it's one where the whole set is interior and the zombies are climbing up the side of the building and whatever. So there was an accident and a lot of the scaffolding collapsed and a lot of the people there got collapsed on them. And so they're all done up in the zombie outfits and all the blood and guts and everything. And the ambulance crews show up and they look around and it's like, okay, who's actually hurt over there? Who's not hurt? Get out of the way. I was like, what are you going to do if you're an ambulance driver, paramedic or whatever showing up and everybody looks like they're done up and dead? I just thought it's the funniest thing ever when somebody talks about the appearance of normal and zombie in a set. I was like, I always remember this thing. That's like 10 years ago now. 15, something like that.
Let me tell you, I was, I worked on Halloween 2 with Rob Zombie.
Oh, and, the new Halloween 2.
Yeah. And that had Tyler Mane in it. He played Michael Myers, and Scout Taylor Compton played, Laura. And we were filming at a abandoned hospital in Dunwoody, Georgia. And I remember us being in the basement, and you could hear the vibrations of his feet stomping, each. And we're like in the basement, and I'm like, man, I bet the morgue was down here. Oh my God, I bet the morgue was down here. Oh, jeez. And I'm down here and it's dark and Mike Myers is upstairs. And I'm like, oh shit, I know this isn't real, but damn, I'm freaking out. This is crazy, And so anyway, but I had they had put a cut across my face, and they doused us with blood down in this pit with a water hose. We were covered in blood and I guess I just played dead so well. I just keep getting these roles. But I remember it was a 16-hour day that day. And most days on The Walking Dead was 16 hours as well. But anyway, I was driving home. I live about an hour from Atlanta. And
do you ever drive home in makeup?
Well, I still had the scar on my face. And I forgot about it. And I 15 minutes from my house, and I decided to stop at Mickey D's, which I don't eat there anymore because they changed their oil and it makes me sick. But anyway, but I went through the drive-thru, and this young man, he was looking at me really concerned. And I looked at him, I said, sir, are you okay? And he says, ma'am, I'm trying to figure out if you're okay.
Excellent. Somebody in the chat room says you're the best.
Oh, thank you.
If he changes his name, I'll actually be able to tell you who he is, or she, or they. All you have to do is click on your icon name, and it'll give you the option to change your nickname. I ever wondered about people who are in set, because I know that you're on set for a long period of time, because you have to stay in the outfits and the makeup and everything, and it's like, oh, okay, we need you on call on set now. Okay, now you can sit for 6 hours. Oh, okay, now we need you again and everything. Why people wouldn't drive home more with that?
Well, you know, they did not want us to leave with the makeup on because they were keeping everything under wraps and keeping it a secret, right? They didn't want people
to see. That I get.
So we would have to go back to the makeup trailer, which would take 45 minutes to an hour for them to get everything off of us, which I refer to it as zombie spa because they would give us a hot towel to put on our face to start loosening it up. And, you know, and I was just like, man, this is awesome. You know, I don't even have to go to a regular spa. I've got zombie spa right here, man.
Exactly. It's incredible. And it's free.
Yeah. Well, you know, sort of. Yeah.
But, so most of the stuff is appliances, right? They have like actual latex pieces that they put on and then apply and whatever and then take off?
Yeah, well, they use silicone. I'm actually allergic to latex, so they use silicone.
Cool.
Which was great. But, you know, once you've got it glued on, stuff like that, you know, that you can't just jerk it off because that could actually tear your skin. So they have
to use glue and stuff, don't they? Yeah.
So they have to use like a paintbrush with alcohol and slowly start peeling it away, you know. And so with the astringents of alcohol, it's like making your face all, you know, the pores open up. I mean, it's almost like getting a facial, you know. It's just extreme.
Get all those pores cleaned out because all that glue and stuff just yanks all that crap out.
It does. I'm telling you, it's better than going to the spa. It really is. So
Ghost Biker said hi.
Well, hello, Ghost Biker. And I got to tell you, she's got a YouTube series called Ghost Biker Explorations. And
cool.
She's got 5 seasons of that. So be sure to check that out because she's a great paranormal investigator. And I think the world of her.
Excellent. And I'd be happy to have her come on sometime if she wanted to.
I'll talk to
anybody about anything as long as it's kind of horrific.
Well, she's got some horrific stuff. She actually spends the night in some of these haunted places.
Awesome.
I can't do that. I just can't do that, man. I'll tell you, she's braver than I am.
Well,
I told her somebody's
got to do it.
I told her she was badass. She's a badass biker chick.
Cool. That's the way everybody should be, badass, in one way or another, in their own fashion.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even you're badass, man.
I can be. I have been. It's been a while since I've unleashed the badass because I just normally want to be the good ass. And wait, this is getting into I don't want to keep going with that.
You might not need to. Yeah.
Yeah. That brings in a whole different ball of worms and bats and stuff like that. Ooh,
that's
the cat's going to be bad. It's a guest too. Somebody in the chat room. Sorry. Yeah. Cool. I had something and it went somewhere and now it went somewhere else. Okay.
I'm sure it'll come back at one point or another.
Yeah, probably about 2 hours after the show. Just like something I sent an email today. It's like, oh crap, I hope I didn't put the confidential information in that email as well. Got home. Oh good, I didn't. You know how that works.
I do. There's a lot of times I have that oh shit moment, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing how much technology creates that opportunity for us nowadays. It's like so much stuff. Speaking of technology, because I tend to rep around to ideas and thoughts and things all the time. So the zombie craze is totally, like, I'm a fan. I've been a huge, oh, my name is Zombie Zach. Been a fan of zombies for a long time. I mean, I've Night of the Living Dead, the original movie and whatever. It's like, ooh, cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Constantly amazed at how many new ideas they can keep unearthing to do for a zombie movie.
True.
Constantly. And I wanted to get your take on it from being in the side of it as an actress or whatever. How do you see that horror movies have been changing? I mean, I've been seeing some stuff recently that it's like, I kind of really don't like that. That's kind of boring as crap to me. And then this stuff over here is like awesome as heck. And it's kind of this weird dichotomy for me. How do you see that?
I've seen some that I've just can't. I'm like, oh my God, what? How did this even get distribution? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then others that maybe didn't get distribution, needed to get distribution that, you know, were phenomenal. I've done, well, sometimes I'm a judge for a film festival.
Ooh. Cool.
Something Wicked Film Festival out of Lawrenceville, Georgia, the Atlanta area. And they actually presented me with a Lifetime Achievement Award a few years back, which was pretty cool. But it's some of the films that have came through on that were really amazing. And then some I was like, I can't even hardly get through this, you know. but I've been in a few of those movies that I thought were going to be really awesome when they came out. And then when they came out, it's like, I don't get it. You know, it's like, okay, what happened? Who dropped the ball here? It is kind of crazy. And some of the horror movies that have came out, I'm like, no, I don't know where you pulled that from, but I just can't handle it, you know?
And some of them just come from left field, and it's like, it's awesome.
Yeah, some of them are just, you know, I mean, there should be like a baseball zombie movie, you know, if it's going to come from left field. Oh,
wait, I think there was one.
Okay, there you go. I guess I missed that one.
Trying to remember the name of that movie. What the hell was it? It'll come to me again in an hour. It's the way it happens.
Oh, that happens. I step into a room and I'm like, oh, crap, why did I come in here, you know?
I do have to say that one of the most interesting zombie movies that you've seen or heard?
Well, I liked 28 Days Later.
Love that movie.
I just thought that was so well done. I really, really enjoyed that one. And, you know, and I've tried to watch, I kind of like that TV series, iZombie.
Yeah. Which is based on a comic book. Much like The Walking Dead was.
Yep. I really like the concept of how, you know, she was able to, you know, kind of become that person, you know, by eating their brains. I just thought that was really neat, and that's how she was solving things. So I like that show. I've not watched it. I watched a little bit. I don't have cable, so sometimes if I can't get something, then I stop watching, and then I don't forget to pick it back up. So I've been meaning to pick that one back up and finish it up.
Cable? I'm joking. Yeah, I haven't had cable in 10 years.
I have an antenna, and I stream sometimes, so that's about it, you know. It's probably been about 10 years for me as well. But I like the iZombie, and I love Being Human, that show. I know that was based off a show out of the UK, the American version was, but it was, I kind of like the UK one better, but I do like both.
Generally, I end up liking the UK versions of most of those things more.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, I don't know, it was stronger, but I did love the one in the United States as well, and Sam Witwer, he was actually, I met him when I was doing the promotional shoot for The Walking Dead. We were at the production office in Atlanta for that, and they were shooting the tank scene. He was inside the tank, and I sat down next to him at lunch and talked to him for a little bit and everything. I didn't know who he was. I mean, you know, it was so funny. I was watching Being Human, and I was like, God, I know this guy. I kept watching it. I'm like, how do I know this guy? I think I've worked with him before, you know. I know him. And finally, I realized that was who it was. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay, yeah. He was, you know, the tank zombie. He was inside the tank. Cool. So, so that was really neat. Really great guy. Really, really great guy. So,
can I ask you one thing about the tank?
Yeah.
Because as soon as they did this in that episode, I like, damn it, that's so wrong. This is from my personal opinion, and I've heard from a couple of other people who are gun specialists. When Rick discharges his gun in the tank, why does his earbuds don't bleed to the death?
Oh, I know. I've wondered about that too.
He's like, yeah, oh, it hurts. No, it would actually be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I always laugh.
Yeah, that was something that there was a few things I didn't understand.
That's okay. Other than that, it was like, I like that episode. It's just that one bit about him discharging the gun inside the tank. It's like, no, that's not right.
I climbed on top of that tank. I tell you what.
Was it a real tank?
Yes.
Was it on loan from somewhere, from a war museum or something?
You know, I'm not sure where they got it from, but they had it. And we climbed up. They had some boxes set up on the side for me to climb up on that side. And they had boxes on the other side for the other zombie to climb up on that side. And so we were all, you know, climbing up on the side of the tank, which I thought was kind of cool and fun.
Even out of context.
Well, you know, I always wanted to climb on a tank, you know, it just really bucket list type thing, you know.
And did you get to climb around inside as well?
No, I didn't get to go inside, but Rick was always coming up out, so I got to, you know, look down in it and stuff, so that was pretty cool.
Well, he seemed to be a friendly guy on set behind the scenes stuff all the time.
Oh, he was great. I was walking as a man. He was doing the Georgia accent, the Southern accent, so well. I didn't know he was British until the second week we were working on him. We were walking to the parking deck together, and we were talking, and I was like, holy shit, he's British, you know? I couldn't believe he was British.
Oh, my gosh. He speaks with an upper-crust accent. Not like that. That's a little bit too much Hollywood.
That was like Valley Girl or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I long decided, I mean, I can do some accents and stuff. It's just that they don't come on demand.
Yeah, that happens to me sometimes as well. Sometimes I blend together. It's like blended accents.
Yeah.
I'm blending.
And this, okay. So in that vein, like I've heard people say in the past, oh, I hate this person doing this person because they do the accent terrible. It's like, dude, they're doing it. If you're doing whatever. But there's a lot of negative stuff thrown out there. I mean, I see right now, I think the big one right now is the black girl playing Little Mermaid. And I was like, dude, how can you even have much an opinion on this until the movie's actually done?
Yeah.
I mean, do you get any of that? Do you see any of it? Do you hear it? Do you experience any of it?
Never.
Mm-mm. Oh, good.
Yeah, no.
That's a good thing. I mean, yeah, I get exposed to so much stuff, and I'm always interested in what other people have as a perception on this stuff, because I keep just saying, it's like, if you don't like it, watch something else. I don't care.
Well, I mean, you know, every once in a while I have somebody tell me, hey, you know, I watched that movie that you told me to check out, and I didn't get it, or I didn't know, or I didn't understand. And sometimes I'm like, how could you not understand it? But then sometimes I'm like, yeah, I can understand why you didn't get it, you know. But I think from my perspective as an actor, if I've read the script, you know, when I get a script, I read it completely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I'm doing because I want to better understand where the movie's coming from, you know, what direction is it going? So I can kind of get a perspective from that route, you know, so I know how to play my role. Because I want to be the best at whatever I'm doing that day. And so then when the movie does come out, I know what's going to, you know, I know what to expect before the movie's actually doing it. So when I'm watching it, I have a different perspective because I've read the script.
Plus, there's notes.
Yeah, you know, so you have the notes, you have all this. And so then when somebody else is watching the movie and they don't have that advantage, then they are lost sometimes. Because they're like, oh my God, you know, I couldn't figure, why did this happen? And so at least I'm able to explain to them, well, in the script, this is the reason that happened, you know, and they lost it somewhere in the edits, you know. But sometimes I think they should release the scripts with the movies. That way people do both. Oh,
a couple of movies have done that, where they have the script being... like you see the script or you see the text from the script as the movie's being played. It's like a secondary track or whatever.
Okay.
That's actually a cool thing. I did see that on something once. I just can't remember which one it was.
Well, that's really neat because I've always thought that with some of them. I think they should release, you know, scripts with it because that's, you know, basically, I mean, that's you know, I don't know. I think that would help some people better understand or, you know, hey, you know, this is what led up to that, you know, because if you cut a certain scene out that helped the story progress, then you just screw the whole movie, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. Do you get to keep the scripts?
Oh, yeah. I've got several.
Do you collect them or do you get rid of them?
I kind of hold on to them. Now, sometimes I won't, sometimes they're just on my computer,
Okay.
because I just print out my scenes.
That makes sense.
That because I don't want to waste a whole bunch of paper or whatever, but that's
Yes, let's
mainly,
not kill trees.
yeah, exactly, but yeah, that's I've got a script right now that I'm about to start reading. There I've been asked to possibly do a role in, so I get a lot of stuff like that, and some things I turn down, and I still have the script. But yeah, as far as collecting them, I do have a Twilight script around here somewhere that some, but
Did you
yeah.
actually play anything on that thing?
No, I didn't. I
Okay,
didn't.
good,
A
good,
friend of
good.
mine, had collected the, had gotten a couple of the scripts, and they were autographed or something, and so
Ah.
I've kind of inherited them, we'll put it that
Gotcha.
way.
'Cause I know there's a market for that sort of thing, and it's like sometimes it's like, "Hey, if you've got the script for a thing and whatever," and then he's like, "Hey, you're in there." And it's like, "Oh, it's like worth something." And it's like it's a bunch of paper to me, man. If I wanted to read it, I'd read it on the internet type thing.
Well, that's what, that's the way with me. If I want to read something, I'll read it like on the internet or do it that way. But I like to say, I print out what I need to print out. Now, sometimes I have printed out a whole script so I can read it better, because sometimes I don't like to read on the computer or on my cell phone or something like that. I like to really, I like to have, I'm one of those people that like to hold books, and read a book. I don't
I
want to read
don't know
books.
what you're talking about. I have a small library over there of about 3,000 books.
Well, there you go. That sounds
Yeah, I don't
about
know what you're talking about.
like me. I like to physically hold a book and read it. If I'm going to go to the
Yeah.
beach or go outside, I don't know. I just like to have a book. I don't like to be holding a Nook. Now, if I'm traveling on a plane, now the Nook's a little bit more convenient, or a tablet or something. But it's just, I don't know. I get a headache. I get a headache from all that. So.
Yep, I understand that one totally.
Yeah. But I feel more accomplished when I have a book in my hand and I see the pages as I go through the pages, I'm like, oh man, I'm halfway through. I can't do that on a daggum computer. Jeez.
Well, you can, because there's a little indicator sometimes in the bottom that says, "Hey, you're 50% through," or whatever, but
That's true.
the downside of that. Hey, I'm getting towards the side. Oh, what the hell book was it? It was a Robert Jordan book. I think it was the sixth book in his Eye of the World series. Sorry, whatever that was. The fantasy series. And I'm getting to the end. I'm getting to the end. It's like, okay, there's a big war coming. There's like 10 pages left. There's like 9 pages left. There's like 8 pages. What the hell? To be continued? Damn! Drove me up the wall. I didn't read any more of his books after that.
Oh my, oh goodness.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah,
like there's like only a couple of pages left here, but the big action scene is coming up, and it's like, nope, next book, gotta wait a year and a half for it.
oh man, that sucks. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm such a visual person, so it's like to actually have the book in my hand and see that I'm halfway through, that just seems like I've accomplished something in life, And then when you finally read it, you're like, I finished this book, this whole book. It's this thick, and I did it, So.
Oh, I totally understand and agree. I always loved reading books, especially the bigger they were, the better, because I used to burn through them in the evening and just go through these piddly little 300-page books. It's like, okay, now what? Where's the rest of it? Oh, that's it? Okay, it's done. But I did just notice something on your IMDb, and it just jumped right out at me. It was a TV show you're on for 12 episodes, 13 episodes. Lumber Baron of Jasper County.
Yes, that's a really cute show. I did two seasons,
Excellent.
season two and three, and I believe that's what it was, two and three. And I played the role of Sam. And we actually came up with that role kind of together, because I don't know if you remember Green Acres.
I do remember Green Acres.
You remember Ralph? She was a painter on there, and
I don't remember Ralph, though.
You don't remember Raph. Raph was one of the painters, and, you know, she, so my character was kind of based off Raph a little bit. And so I was Sam. I'm Sam the dog trainer, and I'm a redneck on that. It's a pretty funny little it's one of my favorite roles, actually. Oh, I like talking redneck. It's pretty daggum funny.
Daggum funny.
Yeah, so it's just, I have to say, that's one of my favorite roles that I've done. And it's, he actually took the seasons and turned them into movies. So he combined them together and made them into, like, you know, season one is a movie, season two is a movie, season three, you know, that kind of thing.
Cool.
But it was a fun thing to do. It really was. My acting coach, she was one of the leads on it. And so we got to work together, and that was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And then he's got a side series called Ask the Baron. and that's where I got to do my dog training. And he's like, we brought a real life dog trainer on here. And so that was a very good little episode of that. I enjoyed it.
I like the episode images that they have on IMDb. It makes them look like they're all trading cards for each episode.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That's spiffy. Yeah, actually, from the name of the show, when I was just briefly casually looking at it, I was like, oh, wait, is this going to be a home building type thing? And it's like, no, it's not actually. It's rednecks. Rednecks are always funny.
Yeah, and Dave Watkins that came up with that, he plays the lead role, the Lumber Baron, in it. And he starts off in season one, you know, he's having a hard time. You know, he's not doing well in his business. And Mickey Bob's kind of outdoing him. Mickey Bob's kind of an Elvis type. And lady killer, you know. And so anyway, he has to compete with that. So he becomes the Lumber Baron. Well, the Lumber Baron sticks with him. And so that's the whole persona that sticks with him. So that's what he is the Lumber Baron. He forgets his old, you know, his old self. So you really need to watch it from the beginning, but it is a cute little series. It's a real cute little series. So I highly recommend watching it if you need a good laugh.
It's got a fairly good rating on IMDb. It's 8.5 out of 10. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It strikes me as being like the Trailer Park Boys, or what's the other one? There's another couple of them like that. They're redneck type shows. They're usually good for a laugh.
Yeah, well, like King of the Hill, you know.
King of the Hill is a good choice.
Yeah, I like King of the Hill. It's a good one.
He's got some, I'm cooking, selling some fuel stuff. Yeah. Nah, it's fine. I mean, everything is worth an enjoyment value, whatever. And it's, if you can't laugh at it, laugh with it, or laugh for it, what's the point?
Exactly.
I
mean,
this is the thing I do with every horror movie. It doesn't matter which horror movie I is. I always find something to laugh at. It, even if it's a terrible, crappy one, there's something worth laughing at.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, when I was a teenager, I liked the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Excellent. And
the reason I did was because of his humor. You know, Freddy was, you know, I remember this one time, you know, there was a waterbed scene. You know, he comes up and he's like, how's that for a wet dream? You know, and I laughed. I thought that was hilarious. You know, and I got the biggest kick out of some of the, you know, the jokes in that. And it was pretty gruesome stuff, but you know, I just, those were the movies that I enjoyed. I liked that better than I did Friday the 13th and Halloween back then.
I was more into the Halloween myself out of the three big ones back then, but everybody their own.
The Halloween, I mean, later on I went back and I watched Halloween and the Halloween movies and stuff. I really enjoyed them. I really did. So,
I watched all three sets for the first couple movies of them last month, just as the 31 and 31 thing for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
They all hold up still pretty darn good.
Yeah. They're pretty solid. So I like those. There's
so
a lot
was that
of,
the one with Johnny Depp in it?
I think so.
Yeah, but was that him the one that got oh, it was. That's right. I just remembered seeing that again. Remember, yeah. He was so young in that thing.
Of course, we all
He's
were
He's a punk-ass kid. Exactly, see? I mean, you giggle. I was doing this because most of the movies I watched last month were all from the 80s or the early 90s and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know that guy. Holy crap, he's young in this.
Uh-huh.
Like Gerard Butler in Dracula 2000. He's like maybe 20.
God. I know, right? Well, I tell you, one of my ultimate favorite movies is The Lost Boys.
And Excellent going back, movie.
Yeah, going back and looking at all those actors then and now, you know, it's like, whoa. You know?
Did you enjoy the two sequels?
I'm just going to say the first one is my favorite. It always will be. I couldn't get into the sequels that much.
They just tried too hard.
They did. It just it didn't do well for me. So,
Ghost Biker likes Lost Boys as well. I can't say anything against it because I made my family watch Lost Boys on Christmas, at least several Christmases in a row.
Oh, yeah.
I always kept bringing it up to watch. It's like, we're watching Lost Boys. Why? We've seen this. Yeah, but I'm going to watch it again.
I love it. Yeah. It is my favorite movie. Favorite movie. I just love it.
Oh, before I forget it, I do have to make mention of a particular zombie movie that I don't know if you've seen it, but I actually call it one of the best zombie movies out there. Rec, R-E-C, with the record button, the Spanish movie.
Uh-huh, I haven't seen it.
You should check it out. It's like the best of found footage meets a zombie outbreak.
Okay, cool.
And there's actually four movies, and one of the things I really absolutely love about this movie is the way they made the movie. So the premise is the main actress is a reporter, desk person or whatever, and she's been given a fluff piece. It's like, oh, okay, ride along with the firefighters. It's like, oh, this is going to be boring as hell. Let's just have some fun, blah, blah, blah. But then they get to a building, and the zombie outbreak occurs.
Okay.
In the building.
Okay.
And the whole movie is shot found footage.
Wow. Okay.
And it's really done awesome.
Okay. I'll have to check that out then. That sounds like a really good concept.
Yeah, the concept is awesome. I mean, when I saw this movie came out about 10, 15 years ago or something like that, it's like reignited my interest in zombies again. So there is an American re-release of this called Quarantine.
Okay.
Which is a shot-for-shot remake with one additional scene. It doesn't have the same soul.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think I had watched that one, and it was just okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It just didn't have the same soul. Now, the sequel to that, Quarantine 2, on the plane, was actually really good.
Okay.
Yes, I've seen a few zombie movies. Sorry.
Well, that's quite all right.
Not sorry.
Quite a few zombie movies and stuff, so.
Oh, crap, there's so many. So, and some of them are really awesome, and some of them are like, okay, what's the next one?
Yeah. Well, you know, my the very first zombie movie I did was called Night of the Jackals. It was Yeah, it was just a little independent movie, but I had so much fun on it. I really did. It was a blast, and it actually wasn't that bad of a movie, you know. If they'd had a bigger budget, man, they could have really done some really cool stuff with it.
Yeah, and the budget is not necessarily the most important thing for some of these movies. I mean, if they understand the story they're expressing and they can express it, it makes more difference than if you had all the money in the world to make a movie. Because I've seen new movies that are really expensive, and they're a pile of poop.
Well, I have to, but I really think that Nine of the Jackals, if it had a little bit better budget, they could have done a little bit, you know, there was some cool stuff they could have done.
Right.
It didn't have to be like a huge budget, but, you know, if they had like another $10,000 or something, I think they could have really solidified it, you know. But
it's, you know, that's like with any movie. I mean, I've got a script I wrote that, you know, I've, my budget's like $250,000.
Right.
And I just got to get an investor, you know, yeah. So I can pay. I've got a few really cool people that have already signed up to be on it. So it's like,
excellent.
Yeah, so it'd be really neat to.
Have you tried doing a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe type thing?
I was trying not to do it that way.
I've had
a couple of investors that were interested in it and everything, but you know, nowadays you
This is a whole other ball of wax that I'm actually now interested in.
Okay. Yeah. There's people that basically the return's not the same as it used to be because so many people, you know, because of streaming and download, you know, the way they do nowadays and the pirating movies and all that. So it's just kind of, I don't know. But Lynn Lowry from the original Crazies, she was going to play
awesome
a mother
movie.
Role in it. And Johnny Alonzo from One Tree Hill, he was going to play the lead in it. But I just got to get the money to pay everybody. You know, that's the main thing, you know, getting the money. I want to make sure that I'll, you know, I could film it. Yeah, I could just film it on a very low budget, but I want to make sure.
It wouldn't be the vision.
I want to make sure everybody's getting paid. The crew's getting paid. I don't want people to work for food and credit, you know, in a copy. You know, I just don't want to do that to them. I want to make sure that they're getting paid for what they're doing, even if it's just gas money.
Right.
You know?
Oh, so. I can totally understand how to feel on that because it's people are doing work. They should get paid and recompensated for what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the literary world, which I do some stuff in. Same in the art world, and people get approached like, hey, I pay you $5 for this. Do some artwork for me. It's like, dude, I get $400 for doing this. Like, why would I do that for five? Oh,
exactly.
Exposure? What exposure are you giving me? I just get exposed and show my butt. No, it's I get it. I had another director on. He's done a couple of movies, and talking to him about how they do the financing, and this is like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It's just a completely different world the way that the rest of us see how some of that stuff goes through, and I'm always fascinated by this stuff, how it gets off the rack, because I see movies. I can actually talk about a movie I saw that where the budget was $182. Well, it showed.
Yeah.
They did okay with the movie. It was silly, but whatever. I always talk about Poltergeist. Sorry, not Poltergeist. Not Poltergeist. What the hell was it? The one with the rubber chicken. Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Budget on that movie was originally $3,000. Then they bumped it up to $4,000 just so that they could have a stripper in the first 60 seconds so that they could say boobs in the first 60 seconds on the front of the VHS cover. I was like, I get it. It's funny. It's stupid. It didn't belong in there, but I understand why you did it. So their second movie, they got a $250,000 budget, what you're talking about, and the movie was just not as good as the first one. But it was still fun.
Yeah.
But it's a cycle. It's weird. It's strange. And I like hearing about this stuff, how it works.
Yeah. It's some good stuff. You know, there was a movie I did called Lava All Saints Eve. We filmed that up in Nashville. I had a co-star role in it. And,
cool.
You know, we had a pretty good budget on it. We really did. And, I mean, it's a good movie. It's on Amazon. But the audio, we had some issues with audio, so we had to go back in and do ADR on it. So... I had to do that on a few movies here and there. And ADR is just when you go back and you have to re-record your lines. Mm-hmm. And you have to try to match up. You know, you wear a headset and you're
lip-syncing yourself.
Yeah, and you're watching and you're lip-syncing and you're trying to put it together, you know. And sometimes it ends up looking like a Godzilla movie.
Who I love.
But you do it, you know, and sometimes that takes away from the movie because you're just like, oh, my God, okay, did they speak in another language and they dubbed over it? What did they do, you know? But, so I've had to do that on some movies, and I wished I didn't have to. Like on the movie Prosper I was in, we had to go back and do ADR on it as well because the audio didn't do well. But we were working in a haunted location. So I think that might have had something to do with the audio messing up.
So the poltergeists were trying to communicate through?
Yeah, it could be. That could be the one that was doing the evil breathing earlier.
Yeah.
But there's some good ones out there, you know, and some of the lower budget ones are pretty damn good, so.
Yeah, it's a wide spectrum. Anybody can find something that attests for what they like to see. I just watched Terrifier 2 the other day. That is not a movie I recommend to everybody.
Okay.
But I enjoyed the crap out of it. It's very violent.
Mm.
A lot of blood and guts. A lot of really, what the hell did you guys think? Who's the crazy son of a gun that did that scene? Yeah, I swear to God, there's the one scene. It's like, it's okay, you know the girl's being killed, but she's still alive? What? One of those things.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I don't think I could handle that one.
Yeah, it's one of those over-the-top things. It's like, I still loved it because the movie was awesome. Some storyline issues or whatever. Well, I'm not talking about this movie on this episode because I'm going to do that an episode where I talk about the movie. But, yeah,
well, it's
not
like
for everyone.
Well, it's kind of like Human Centipede. I can't watch that.
I have not watched that movie.
I can't watch it. I met some of the actors from that one time at a convention, and I was like, yeah, I just don't know that I want to watch that. You know?
The whole idea just never worked for me.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
There's another movie which I refuse to watch because it's shit zombies. It's called Zombie Ass.
Well, okay then.
It's Japanese. So basically they're turn around and projectile poop. And it's like, great, that's infected. And they become zombies.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
watching that movie. I watched the trailer and that was silly enough.
Yeah, I can't do that one. No, can't do that.
There's a couple of movies like you get into poop as a thing. Yeah, that's the line I don't cross. Poop jokes, no problem.
But that
poop things, not so much.
No, not doing it. Yeah.
It's a line. Don't cross it. So do you mostly just watch... Oh, and actually, we're getting close. Actually, we are at the end. So that's cool. Let's just go to that point. So how do people find you?
Well, my website is professionalzombie.com, which I have not updated it lately. But I'm on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram as Red Sonya Thompson. That's the best way to get in touch with me. You know, if you want to reach
Sonya
out...
Red Sonya Thompson?
Yeah.
Excellent. I like it. That one's good.
Well, thank you.
Are you a fan of Red Sonja?
I am. I actually have the movie, and I sometimes joke that was back in my more barbarian days, you know?
Excellent.
Top Chef and, you know, great
shape.
You know,
they're redoing another one, right?
I heard that. Yeah. And I heard that Rose McGowan had done one at one point, too. I haven't seen
she
yet.
Was supposed to do it. They did some establishing shots or whatever, but they never actually got the movie off the ground.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I just remembered reading about that. But yeah, I've actually got the original Red Sonja movie here. And I've even got the comic book. And, you know, that was actually my nickname in college was Red Sonja.
Nice.
And people still call me that sometimes.
I'm going to call you Red from now on.
All right. Do it to it.
Do you know how many Red Sonja comics there are out there now? Dynamite Entertainment, who owns the property, is putting out like 50 of them right now.
Really? Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, there's Red Sonja versus Vampirella going on right now. First issue just came out last week.
Oh, wow.
Last week. But that's what Dynamite does. They'll cross over their characters no matter what. They had Red Sonja, Vampirella meets... Okay, what the hell was it? The two of the girls from Archie's? Betty and Veronica?
Oh, okay.
I was like, I don't care. I'm collecting that because I collect Red Sonja as well.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
I think I have all the original Marvel run.
Oh, wow. That's pretty wild right there. I don't have a collection per se of it, but I have several items. So, you know, just because that was my nickname.
Cool.
Yeah.
Michael Linsner is an artist, and he does some of the cover arts for some of the modern Lit Red Sonja. It's like, I just like him. He's one of my favorite artists.
Okay, yeah, I've got a lot of favorite artists. But yeah, that's neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And on that note, we're going to say thanks for coming on and being a guest. This has been an awesome conversation.
Yeah, it's been really great. Thank you for having me. Thanks for this opportunity. And maybe one day I'll be able to get to Canada and we can meet up in person.
Absolutely. And everybody out there in After Rot Line, thanks for coming by again. Find us on the Facebook, the Twitter. Well, I don't know about Twitter. It's like, who knows what's going on over there right now. Instagram and all the other social medias that might be possibly available. Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or whatever the hell time it is, wherever the hell you are. Have fun. Be well. Be good. Be all those things that matter to whatever criteria that somebody else holds to. And let's go with the outro. It goes does like...